Thank you for coming to the Lord's house today. And, you know, there's two ways you can look at today. One, you can look at, I missed an hour's sleep. The other way you can look at it is, hey, I get up an hour early to praise the Lord. So you're here. Now, it doesn't happen every year, but once in a while, about time I start giving the invitation, somebody will walk in, you know, that didn't get their clock and didn't think about it. And so we'll see if that happens here today. Just, you know, if they hear me giving the invitation, face is going to turn real red. And if you didn't get your survey turned in, you come back to choir tonight, you can turn it in tonight, and then they'll do with it. Try to put it together and see what kind of person you'd like to have as your next pastor. This morning, let's talk about worth. How do you tell what something's worth? Well, you can go to the store and you look on the shelf, you know, 98 cents, $3.98, $44.88, or whatever. That's one of the ways to tell is just what's the price tag. Another way to tell is what's somebody willing to swap for it. My wife and I have a friend. She and her husband bought a brand new RV, about one of those 28, 30 feet RVs. They took two or three trips on it, and then he got sick and over a period of months declined and died. Well, because traveling without him was no fun, and also because she had some health issues herself, she wouldn't have been able to get down and plug in everything that needed to be done. She didn't need that RV, but she needed a car. The car she had was pretty old and decrepit, and so she took that RV to a Cadillac dealership and swapped it for a Cadillac. Now, I always thought that the RV was worth about twice what the Cadillac was, but she is willing to swap. And so I guess that Cadillac dealer said, hey, she wants to swap, I'll swap. What's something worth? Well, also, how precious is it to you? You know, if your house was on fire, I hope you'd grab your husband or wife first and the kids. Hopefully. And then the dogs and the cats. You know, but then most of us have something that's special. It may be a old family Bible. It may be a special picture or something or other that really is precious to us that we'd grab as we went out the door. Price tag? What are we willing to swap for it? How precious is it to us? Those are the ways we determine what something's worth. But what are you and I worth? You know, the Bible says that God made us out of the dust of the ground. Years and years ago, I read that some chemist had analyzed the human body and, you know, how much gold's in it and copper and all the other stuff. And that, at that time, the average human body was worth 98 cents. Pitiful, isn't it? Even with inflation, we might be worth $2 or $3 now. That's not much. But it's amazing what we do to keep that 98 cent body looking good and running good. I mean, we'll exercise, we'll have a face tuck, we'll have a tummy tuck, we'll go to all kinds of doctors and everything. We want that body running good. And yet we're more than a body, because the Bible says when God created us, he breathed into us and we became a living soul, a living spirit. The Bible says we're a three-part being. You're a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. The soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And that spirit is going to live forever. It's sad that so many people spend multiple thousands of dollars trying to keep that old body going and aren't nearly as concerned about their spirit. What is your spirit worth? the part of you that's going to live somewhere forever. And according to the Bible, there's only two places. One's a blessed place and one's a cursed place. One's a joyous place, one's a sad place. One's a place in the presence of God who is loving and kind and wonderful. One's in a place of torment in the presence of the devil. What about the place where we're going to live for all of eternity? What is your spirit worth? Let's look at what the Bible says. Turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. We're going to look at several passages of Scripture to see what you are really worth. Now, you know, we all have our own self-image. It doesn't matter whether you were the first child, the middle child, or one of several middle children, or the youngest child. The people that are around you when you were growing up created you an image of yourself. They may have told you you were wonderful, you were special, you were loved, or they may have told you you're the sorriest thing we've ever had, we should have never had you, you're not as smart or as pretty. And you know, last night my wife and I were talking about somebody that's got this really poor self-image of themselves. And there are people that are like that. But it's not a matter of how you see yourself. How does God see yourself? In Mark chapter 8, beginning at verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life will lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake in the gospels, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? God says, you are worth more than all the money in the world. Think about it. You are worth more than all the money in the world. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? How sad it is when people have millions of dollars, billions of dollars, and die without Jesus. How sad it is when people get all kind of accolades, you know, man of the year, woman of the year, an Oscar, a Tony, or some other award, and die without Jesus. How sad it is when somebody makes all pro or some other award and dies without Jesus. And you know, there are people that have, over the years, they've accumulated and they've accumulated and they've accumulated. Maybe it's education and degree after degree after degree, or maybe it's money and it's just piled up, and yet they're still empty inside. Still empty inside because they do not have Jesus. How sad it is when all they have at the end of life is nothing. It's strange. This morning I was awake about 6:30, and I thought, well, you know, I don't really want to get up right now, because that was only 5:30 yesterday morning. So I laid back down on the couch and went to sleep, and I got to dreaming about a relative of mine. This guy's in a nursing home. His health is beyond terrible. And I wonder, you know, I may find out when I get home that he died, because sometimes when I dream about people, and I don't ever remember in my whole life ever dreaming about this particular person. He's got like a lawyer, like three different people managing his money. He's got no family. As far as I know, no Jesus. And if he when he dies, unless something has happened, all that money is worth nothing. Sad. The Lord says here, Jesus talking to people, saying, what shall it profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Jesus is saying, your eternal soul is worth more than all the money in the world. That makes you valuable. That makes you a very valuable person. Let's also look at another, going over to Mark chapter 10, verse 45. I talked about the lady swapping the RV. Something is as valuable as something that you're willing to swap for it. Mark 10, 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. We just sang about the old rugged cross. God says that you are so valuable that he was willing to send his son to die for your sin. He was willing to send his son, for God so loved the world that he gave his only, he gave, not out of obligation, but out of love. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. He gave. You know, those of us that have children, I can't imagine letting one of my kids die for people that hated me. I can't even imagine letting one of my kids die for somebody that loved me. I just can't imagine giving my child. But Jesus said, I came to give my life a ransom. I came not to give my life to share, to take your place on the cross, to deal with your sin, to deal with your need, to deal with your separation from the Father in heaven. I came to give my life. God says that you are so valuable that he gave his son to die for you. One of our favorite pastors at West Albemarle used to say that he believed that if he had been the only lost sinner in the whole world and everybody else had been righteous, that God would have still sent Jesus to die just for him. Now don't let the devil lie to you and say, well, Jesus died for other people but not for me. No, Jesus died for you as well as everybody else. And don't let people that you try to share Jesus with get by with the lie that, well, you know, he might not have died for me. He did. He died for us all. Pastor friend of mine says that he's been trying to witness to a relative for years, and the guy just kept saying, I'm so bad, I'm so bad, I'm so bad, I can't be saved. And so finally Pastor Mark said, well, why? He said, somebody's got to pay. Pastor Mark said, somebody did. Somebody did pay. And that was Jesus. Now, whether this relative of Pastor Mark's ever gave his life to Jesus, I don't know. But he realized that as bad as he was, somebody had to pay. And Jesus did. You and I are so valuable, that God loved us and sent his son to exchange his life for ours. We should have been the one on the cross. I think there's a gospel hymn to that effect. But he was on the cross. And I think there's another song that says, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He was thinking about you when he died. God so loved. You are so valuable to the Lord that he was willing to swap his son for you. Now go with me over to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Gospel of John, chapter 14. God says you're more valuable than all the money in the world. God says you're so valuable that he's willing to swap his son's life for yours. And then chapter, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places or homes, many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. God says that you are so valuable to him that he wants you with him forever. Think about it. God wants you with him forever. He wants your presence. He wants your presence with him forever. Isn't that amazing? That God desires our presence? God wants to be with us? I don't know why, but for some reason this week I got to thinking about, if I were taking a long plane trip, you know, to Brazil or someplace like that, my first choice as a seatmate would be my wife. But then I got to thinking, if she wasn't going, who would it excite me to see walking down the aisle and say, hey, I believe that seat beside of you is mine. And I could think of several people that would really excite me that I'm thinking, you know, we're going to get to talk for 3 or 4 hours on this plane trip. Who would excite you if they knocked on your door, rang your doorbell this afternoon, and you hadn't seen them for a long time, and you welcome them into your house to come in and sit and share for a little while? God says, I want you in my house forever. I want you as my seatmate forever. I want to fellowship with you forever. I want you to enjoy all of the wonderful things that I have in store for you forever. And John, you know, in the book of Revelation had all of the, you know, he sees all these streets of gold and gates of pearl and all of the awesome things he sees in heaven. And he's trying to describe it, and it's beyond his ability to describe for us to understand. And Paul, when he had that trip to heaven and back, he said, I saw some things the Lord's not going to let me tell you about. And then there's a scripture that says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard the wonderful things that the Lord has prepared for those that love him. Goes on to say, then the Lord's going to reveal them to us. But God has so many wonderful things for us. And he loves us so much that he wants us to spend time with him forever. That's how much he thinks you're worth. In the eyes of God, there are no worthless people. There are no useless people. And once we come to know him and love him, then and he fills us with his presence, begins to give us spiritual gifts so that we might serve him and serve and minister to others. What an awesome thing it is to know Almighty God loves me and thinks that I am valuable. Your family may or may not think you're very important. People you work with may not think much of you. Your neighbors may or may not think much of you. And that hurts if people don't think a lot of us. But bottom line is, hey, the one that spoke this universe into existence thinks that you're special. Thinks that you are worth more than all the money in the world. Thinks that you are worth enough to give his son. Thinks that you are worth enough that he wants to spend eternity with you. Wow. How great is the love of God for us. And we don't deserve it. We don't earn it. He just gives it. Now we have to respond to it. And I think most of you here have. But we have friends and family that have not responded. And you may be here this morning and you're saved, but at the same time, you've been feeling really down and depressed and, you know, do I really matter? Does anybody really care? Does anybody really love me? You know, sometimes we get that way, even as believers. The devil starts telling us we're too fat, we're too old, we're too young, we're too ugly, we're too whatever. And we get down on ourselves. And we need to be reminded, God in heaven thinks we're special. God in heaven is willing to let his son die for us. God in heaven wants us to be with him forever. And all we need to do is just run to him and say, we love you, Father. To experience his love. Read years ago about a guy that, grew up, he was a Baptist preacher, and said, you know, he's a little hesitant where they grew up, you know, nobody raised their hands or anything like that because they just didn't do that. And said, but the first time one of his grandkids came running down the hall saying, Papa, Papa, Papa. He realized what it meant to worship and love in a special way his Heavenly Father. And his grandparents, there isn't anything better than those little kids come up and they grab you around the leg, they grab you around the waist and all that kind of stuff. God thinks you're so special. Love him and worship him and praise him and serve him. And rejoice in that love. You can do everything you want to keep this old body going, but sooner or later, it's going to stop working. But that eternal spirit that was placed in you when you were born is going to live forever. May it live forever with the Father who loves you. Let's take everybody we can with us that we might rejoice in the presence of the Lord. You know, sometimes we get around one another and we just sort of put our arms around each other and sign of unity and love. And isn't it going to be great just to be in heaven and just have our arms around people and as far as the eye can see, people we love. And bask in the love of our Heavenly Father. What are you worth? More than all the money in the world. You're worth the life of His Son. You're worth living with God forever. Be thankful. Be joyous. As we sing a hymn of invitation, if there's anybody here that has never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, please do it right now. Don't wait another minute. You are so special to the Lord. Don't miss it. If there's other decisions you need to make this morning, or maybe you know somebody that's down and depressed and think they're worthless, and you need to go remind them of how much value they have in the eyes of God. Tell them to look at the Bible's price tag on them and see, oh, how special and valuable they really are. Would you respond as the Lord leads?